Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another weekly podcast. Now, this week, what I wanted to do was talk about a subject that just came up when I was teaching an event down in San Francisco. I was speaking to a California real estate investor, and we were discussing her properties, and more particularly, engaging in a 1031 exchange to take those properties out of California and go to an alternative market, a different market across the United States that would produce greater returns. Now, one of the questions that this investor kept bringing up to me was, you know, if I move to that market and I invest there, my concern is who's going to manage my properties? And I said, well, you can look for, you know, some professionals, go to the market, interview people, see who they're using. And it always kept coming back to, yeah, but how do I know they're not going to steal my rents or mismanage my properties? And this investor, their concerns are well-founded because I myself, as you know, own properties across the United States. I have a portfolio of over 100 properties, and I have dealt with this. When I first started investing, I started investing in Indianapolis. And wouldn't you know it, I had a few properties there, and for 6 months, I collected zero rent because my property manager was stealing from me. In fact, it got so bad when I flew out there to check on my properties to find out why I was not getting paid rent, I found out that my property managers had actually died and his kids were stealing the rents from me. So what I realized is that you need to vet the people you work with. And so I thought this week could be a great opportunity to bring on a good friend of mine, Doug Bryan from Mind Property Management, that can talk about the things that you all should be looking at when you're considering using a professional property management company. Because let's face it, managing it ourselves, it sucks. There's, you know, who wants to deal with tenants and toilets? Let someone else have the stress. Let's just reap the rewards of the real estate that we're investing in. So with that, Doug, thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, Clint, thanks for having me.
Sure. Hey, you know, before we get started, you know, we get into the meat of the matter, why don't you tell everyone your story about how this all got started, where you came from? Because I know it's really interesting, and I know the listener is going to want to hear that, because that's going to add context to where we are now.
Yeah, sure. So I think I'm, like you in many ways, a passionate real estate investor. I got into it in a little bit of a different way than most. I actually got drafted in the third round by the San Francisco 49ers out of Cal. I was a place kicker and had an opportunity to play in the NFL. And when I went in, one of my goals was, you know, not to be one of those guys who had this unbelievable opportunity and ended up with nothing to show for it. So, you know, as a place kicker, obviously a pretty volatile position, had no idea how long it would last. And so I actually ended up winning a Super Bowl with the 49ers my first year, my rookie year. So walked straight into the Super Bowl and got a nice Super Bowl check in addition to a, you know, pretty good salary. And so I decided that, you know, that was a good time to start, you know, researching various investment asset classes and figure out, like, how was I not going to be one of those people that had nothing to show for it besides clearly not, you know, spending it all on jewelry and fancy cars. So I didn't do that. And I did research and I figured out that, you know, real estate was a really great way to both build wealth over time. But to me, also equally as important was to build a really a strong, consistent after-tax cash flow. Because I wanted a position post-football to where I could do what I wanted to do instead of what I had to do to pay, you know, bills for whatever lifestyle that I wanted. And so I started learning about real estate, investing every year, and I ended up playing for 12 years and was able to build up a pretty good portfolio. But I would say more importantly, I learned a ton, you know, doing market research. I signed a 5-year deal with the Saints at one point and got an MBA at Tulane and focused in real estate finance. And so when I retired at age 35, like, I was a pretty experienced real estate investor and was mostly focused on apartments. But then in 2008, I got focused on single family homes around the foreclosure crisis. And I co-founded a company called Waypoint Homes. We started out by just buying some single family homes in the Bay Area where the prices had fallen 60 to 70%, yet rents were stable, which meant that there was like really attractive, you know, 10% plus cash on cash returns, which in the Bay Area is unheard of. It was such an interesting opportunity that I partnered up with a friend of mine and we started raising private funds, which led to institutional funds and ultimately led to a public company. So long story short, Waypoint Homes, we ran it for 7.5 years. We bought 17,000 single family homes, mostly on a one-off basis in 13 markets across the U.S. and ultimately turned it into a single family dedicated REIT that we ran for 2 years and ultimately merged with Colony American Homes, which then went on to merge with Invitation Homes, which today is the largest owner and operator of single family rentals in the U.S. So obviously along the way, learned a lot about real estate investing, but I would say more importantly, how to use technology and systems and data to run a nationwide portfolio and really do it in a more sophisticated 21st century way that, you know, made it easier and more profitable.
Wow. You know, I bet a lot of the listeners were thinking when you're telling that story about walking right into the Super Bowl in the first year, like, hey, I did it. I've accomplished everything and I'm out, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. You're supposed to like win the Super Bowl and, you know, walk out in glory like in your last year. I kind of got that part backwards and won early and it was all downhill after that. But I did manage to play for 12 years and it was a fun ride for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. So I mean, your knowledge in this area has got to be unsurpassed from a lot of the guests I've had on the podcast. I mean, just the wealth of experience that you've had in the real estate market and building up these properties is phenomenal. And so why did you form Mind Property Management? How did that come about?
Yeah, great question. And it's one that I get asked a lot. You know, my partner and I did pretty well at Waypoint, you know, built a successful company and we started Mind and it's like, guys, property management's hard. Like you said, I mean, it's a hard business and it is. And it's ironic because when we went into Waypoint Homes, our goal, the way we kind of thought about putting the company together was to just hire property managers. And it sounded that easy. It was like not at all our focus or where our real interest lied. But what became very clear is that if we were going to execute on our goals and deliver the returns that we knew were possible, we were going to have to manage these properties ourselves. And so because we built our own property management company from the ground up, including much of the technology that we ran it on, we learned a ton about it and then also realized it's a big pain point in the industry. I mean, your story that you just shared is a similar story, but with a different ending for many folks. I've talked to many investors who have said, you know, I want to diversify. I want to invest in the market that makes the most sense versus the market that's closest to me. But where I get stuck is property management. Who's going to watch it for me? How am I going to know it's going well? And so what my partner, Owen, and I decided to do after Waypoint was to found another company. Instead of, you know, raising money from institutions and making money from Wall Street investors, at the end of the day, we're individual investors and believe strongly in real estate as a tremendous wealth creation vehicle. And so we're very familiar with how hard it is to invest in properties and to build the proper portfolio. And so we set out to build an investor platform because, you know, we think property management is so challenging yet vital to the success of an investment. We decided to start by building a property management company, but we're doing it in a very different way. We're building all of our own software, and the idea is that eventually we're going to bolt on other features such as tools to help investors buy properties and tools and capabilities to help people get financing and insurance and everything you need to, you know, pick your property, buy it, and then ultimately deliver on the returns that you expect, and to create one company that has, you know, one simple user interface and one set of consistent reporting and one set of operational performance standards that someone can experience on a nationwide basis. And we just think there's a huge opportunity for this and also a huge need. It's hard to invest and build wealth over time, but we want to make it easier. And that's why we started Mind.
Yeah, I mean, that is, like you said, such a need for investors, because I think so many people become paralyzed. They see the opportunities, they want to move forwards, but then they always end up investing in the area in which they know, which is local, because they can see it, touch it, feel it, you know, go out to it, and they feel like they have more control because they don't want to turn that control over to someone else. We're going to take a quick break here, and we come back. I want to talk about, you know, some of the issues that we face or that investors face when they choose a property management company. So with that, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back talking about investing in real estate and finding a property management company.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Clint Coons with Anderson Business Advisors. And in this podcast, if you haven't caught the first part, we are talking to Doug Bryan of Mind Property Management. And right before break, we got into talking about what an individual investor should look for when hiring a property management company to manage their real estate, because there's so many questions that come up. And so, you know what? I don't know those answers. When people ask me that, I tell them, let's go find an expert. And so I brought on an expert with me today that has built a mega company that offers these services to individuals. So Doug, can you tell us a little bit about, if I'm an investor and I decide I want to invest in Oklahoma City, for example, and I'm going to buy 15 properties there, you know, finding that property manager, what are some of the things that I should look out for? Maybe the questions I should ask, how do I go about doing it to know that I'm not going to get ripped off?
Yeah, so good question. Common problem. I think first and foremost, like just leveraging your story from earlier, it sounds like you hired an individual. I'm a big proponent of hiring a company. You know, people switch jobs. Like you said, people, you know, die and move on to other careers. And I think you have a much better chance of success if you hire a company with an approach where, you know that people are going to come and go, but at the end of the day, it's a company that's reputable and has a good approach. And so, you know, one of the things that I learned at Waypoint, and to me is vital in terms of like gaining my comfort, like, and to me, trust is earned over time. And so what I tend to focus on is data. And part of the reason that we're building our own platform is because we believe that investors should have more access, more transparency to data. And so, again, going back to your example, like if you had real-time access to data on how your property was performing, it wouldn't take you, you know, 6 months or 3 months or 1 month or even a week to figure out that money was missing. So, you know, part of our approach, again, is using our own software and then creating an app so that owners of real estate can actually get real-time data. So as money is collected, you see it show up. If you have a vacant property, on a real-time basis, you can see leads, showings, applications. Like those are three data points that we use to help us set rent and adjust rent and know if we're getting enough market demand. We use this data to manage your property, but then we also make it available to you so you can have peace of mind and know that, you know, people are paying attention to your property and things are happening or not happening.
Yeah, one of the things that I've also seen happen before is the property managers neglect the property. It falls into disrepair. You don't know about it. You get cited or fined by the city, because now your property's an eyesore and the grass is 7 feet tall. And so that is such a problem. I think that's why people are hesitant to engage with property managers or to invest in other markets. And so what I hear you saying is that you have to have a lot of transparency there. So how about if I were to contact you and I asked, say, for referrals? Do you typically provide that, or do you recommend people ask for that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think talking to other investors and, you know, there's all different kinds of investors. I think it's actually good to kind of ask to be matched with investors that are similar to you. Like, you know, this could be your first rental property, and maybe it used to be your house and you're moving out of it because you got transferred or something. Like, there's investors, lots of investors that have that exact same set of circumstances, and they kind of think about it the same way. And then there's other investors who, you know, were maybe more like me or you, and they're trying to grow wealth over time, and they're really focused on this asset class. And, you know, maybe they have 5 properties or 10, but the goal is to grow that. I think talking to a like-minded investor is very important, but I also think asking for data, right? Like, the things that drive returns more than anything else are vacancy and repairs and maintenance. And I think, you know, we're a company that, if asked, we could give you data, not just overall data, but by market, on how long it's taking us to lease. You know, what kind of rent per square foot are we achieving? You know, we can show you our financial reports, both, you know, online and through the app, and, you know, PDFs that can be mailed, or the portal in which you can access this data. Inspections, I mean, to your point about maintaining an asset, like, we're like, that's a big, big part of a property manager's job. We have something that we call the property prescription. When we come in and see your property, we do an in-depth analysis and actually put together a plan on how to maintain or improve your property. And then we actually budget for it and set aside funds so that we have the money to, you know, fix the roof in a year, or some siding that needs to be done over time, and really make sure that we're protecting the integrity of the asset, but also maximizing it so you can get the most rent possible. So I think asking for data and being able to look at those, you know, interfaces that, you know, you're going to have to experience in advance is very important. And something that we're also very passionate about is, you know, it's funny, you talk to lots of investors and you say, like, you know, how are you doing with repairs and maintenance or leasing or, you know, anything like that? And they typically will say, good. And my question is, well, how do you know? Right? So this concept of benchmark data in a market that, like, changes by season, changes as the economy changes, like, really understanding what's the benchmark, how is your property performing compared to the benchmark? And if it's underperforming, there's a lot of reasons why. And our big focus is really looking at the asset and what can we do to the asset to make sure that it's performing at or above the market.
So what I'm gathering from this, your approach probably comes from experience. I mean, having all of those properties in Waypoint, obviously you had those managed before you started your own property management company. And so did you ever run into those issues like I faced, where you had bad property managers that didn't keep your properties full?
Yeah, I mean, your story is pretty bad.
I know.
Your story, but, like, you know, I mean, it may sound kind of crass, but, like, you know, we had 13 markets with 17,000 properties. Like, I didn't want to get on the phone and say, hey, how are these properties going in Tampa? Or, I mean, that, like, I don't care what somebody says. I wanted to look at the data. I picked up my phone or went to my computer and looked at our own technology system and looked at dashboards, simple dashboards. How are things going? And so, yeah, these were tools that, like, myself and our management team were very focused on and relying on. And we figured out, like, that is how you run a large portfolio that's nationwide when you can't lay your eyes on every single thing. You have to be looking at data and seeing how they're performing. And so it's really, to your point, that experience that is driving us towards trying to create that kind of same investor experience for the, you know, everyday individual investor who's got a property or two and, you know, wants to grow, but historically it's just been too hard and they lack that trust. We're saying, don't trust us, trust the data. We're going to show you lots of data, and over time, that data and our performance is going to earn your trust. And that's what's going to bring you back to us to ask for insights into other markets and other places to invest so you can grow your portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, even today, I don't have that transparency with my property managers, and It is frustrating. You typically get a spreadsheet at the end of the month or maybe three quarters of the way into the second month, and you get one check, and then you go through and you have to decipher all this information. And it basically, I take two aspirin before I even attempt it. Because yeah. It's so frustrating. And I, you know, I turn it over to my bookkeeper and say, you figure this out, and then you report back to me with the data that I need. So that's important. Yeah. And you brought up something else there that I hope everyone caught, that by having that data, it's going to make you a better investor, because if you have that level of transparency, then I'm going to be able to, I guess, look at other markets that you're managing. So you're basically boots on the ground. So if I wanted to start investing in North Carolina and you're managing property there, I could see what the returns are like, what the CapEx is running, and get a sense of is that the right market for me? So it sounds like you're expanding into that area as well to help people find places to invest.
Yeah, I'm really trying to align interests. So if you're talking to, you know, a broker or using our platform to help make the buying decision, you know, there's no bait and switch. We're not making a transaction and then we throw you off into the wild and say, good luck. It's like, no, we're only going to buy in the markets where we manage. And so that handoff between the buying phase to the management phase is more seamless and aligned because it's one company. I think you also made a good point about, you know, I think you were talking to, you know, transparency is an interesting thing, right? Transparency isn't always a good thing. It's like, oh my gosh, this isn't going well. And, you know, because we offer transparency doesn't mean everything is always going well. Sometimes, you know, vacancy rates go way up in the market. Well, at least we know. I mean, the thing I hated the most about the what I think of as the 20th century paradigm of, you know, you get your financial report from the month before in arrears. It's like, it's all very interesting, but it's not actionable. Why I'm so passionate about real-time data is because, like, I can see when my property hit 18 days, and I can see how many leads and applications and showing. So I can avoid getting that painful statement by, like, dealing with the problem as it's happening so you can solve the problem versus just, like, digesting the problem when it's too late. And so I think that's really the power of real-time data.
No, I could completely agree with that, because I do see that when I have vacancies, they show up on the report, the property's vacant, and then maybe it's on the report the next month, and you don't know if they're actively trying to fill that property.
You're like, what happened? And they come to the story. Versus like, okay, you know, John or Sally, like I can see on my app, like we're this day in this lead, you know, this bit, like, you know, we're not getting the showings. What's going on? And, you know, hopefully that interaction happened the other way, where our team's calling you and saying, hey, Clint, it's Monday, we've been on for 2 weeks. I mean, I literally just experienced this with my property in Berkeley. My property manager reached out. I knew I was being aggressive. We looked at the data. He just said, we're getting people looking at it, but we're not getting showings. What that means is, you know, they're looking at it because it's interesting, but, like, the price and the product and the market are not matching up, and so you're not getting showings. Let's lower, and lowering it to $29.99, like getting below that $3,000 threshold, and we're going to watch the data for another week. So that's, I mean, to me, that's a healthy way of dealing with, you know, vacancy management.
No, I would completely agree with you on that, because as I stated, what the answers they'll give you a lot of times is that, oh, that vacancy rate, well, that's within our pro forma. We told you you could expect a 10% vacancy rate. Well, that doesn't mean I want a 10% vacancy rate to run the entire period, the term. So that's funny you should mention that, because I know those answers that they're keen to throw out there to give excuses. You know, if I'm listening to this call right now and I want to learn more and engage you or just talk about where I should be investing. I mean, where could I go to, hey, get some of this data to start looking at possibly bringing you on to manage my portfolio and the markets that you're in? Where would you direct the listeners to go to?
Yeah, so I think for starters, go to mind.co. So it's not .com, it's .co, mind.co. The whole reason for the word mind is we're trying to deliver peace of mind. Like, that's the goal. Fortunately, MIND was taken. So we have MIND. go check out the website. You'll see at the in the top right, there's a menu for owners. And if you click on that, you'll see Guestimate Marketplace. And so that's a place where you can learn and actually look for properties. The rest of the website, if you go to the owner section, has lots of information about, you know, what it's like to be an owner. And, you know, based on your criteria, we have our buying platform basically sucks in all the data from the MLS, and it chooses the 10% that are best for rental properties. And then based on your search criteria, it'll narrow that 10% even more to give you the best property. So, you know, like, for example, I'm always buying myself, and I'm looking at Atlanta. Atlanta's got some interesting things going on. Dallas, Houston are interesting markets. These are all markets that we both help people buy in and manage in.
Yeah, I mean, I was tooling around your site, and I think I got lost in it for at least a good hour because there's so much information there that I was just eating it all up. And I think that anybody's listening, you definitely want to go to this website and experience what I've seen there, because it's only going to make you a better investor by having this information. So you're not making, you know, poor decisions about where to put your money.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you raise a good point. Like, one of our real focuses is education. So we have tons of content on how to be a better investor. Like, you know, the market that we're focused on, small apartments and single family rentals, there's, you know, millions of renters. It's a huge market. We know that for some, it makes sense to manage for themselves, or they want to, or they're good at it. And that might change at some point. You might want to hire a property manager. You know, like, busy people like us trying to make money so you can buy more properties. And, you know, you need a property manager. So we're set up to, you know, be there for investors when they need us. But first and foremost, to educate and just kind of raise the level of awareness. Like, this is how you build wealth through real estate. So that's all there on the site.
Yeah, definitely. If guys that are listening, go to the website, check it out. It's mind.co. And in the show notes, we'll have the website address as well. And if someone wanted to reach out to you, Doug, probably not you, but your team, how best can they get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, the website's a super easy way to do it. There's ways, there's basically like form cells where you can, you know, request to talk to a salesperson. I'll just put it on an inquiry at our contact us. So someone will follow up with you quickly.
You can't get your personal cell phone number?
When you get to 10 properties, you get my personal cell phone.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. I know that the listeners, they got a ton of information out of this. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a very busy individual. So with that, again, is there any parting comments you want to leave with the audience?
You know, nothing other than, I mean, obviously, if people are listening to your show, they're on the right track. But I think, you know, you and I are both testimonials to the fact that, you know, real estate is the greatest wealth creation vehicle known to American capitalism. I think it's 90% of all millionaires in the last 200 years attribute a large part of their wealth creation to real estate. And there's also very good reasons, and a lot of them are tax benefits. So I think, you know, educate yourself, understand the tax benefits, learn how to do it, and, you know, start. I think that's the hardest part is, you know, you can do lots and lots of studying, and there's, you know, challenging aspects to real estate, but the only way to get started is literally just to pull the trigger, and that's typically the hardest property to buy, your first one. So start today.
Absolutely. Hey, one last question. Saints or 49ers?
I live in the Bay Area. So it's hard not to root for the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan was also his dad. Mike Shanahan was our offensive coordinator, and Kyle was running around on the sidelines, and he's our ball boy, and he's now the head coach. So that's pretty cool. And I live here in the Bay Area, so I'm a 49ers fan.
Okay. Well, there you have it. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, and I wish you the very best.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate you having me, Clint. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.